From News Talk 580 1059 KMJ, this is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition. Now here's your host, Mark Kepler.
California's $25 billion workers' compensation system is designed to help workers who are injured on the job. Unfortunately, some people try to cheat the system, with workers' comp fraud estimates running between $1 and $3 billion a year. Are we doing enough to fight workers' compensation fraud? We'll ask Elaine Howell, California State Auditor, whose office recently authored a report on that very issue.
We'll also hear from Manny Jimenez with the Fresno County DA's office, Janelle Crandall with the Stanislaus County DA's office, and Spencer Johnston from the Tulare County DA's office.
Additional funding for the Matty Report made possible by a grant from the wonderful company, harvesting health and happiness around the world. Chevron's Coalinga oil field and Fresno County have been doing side by side for over 100 years. Learn more at doers.com. From the California Channel at the State Capitol and the Matty Institute, it's the Matty Report with Executive Director of the Matty Institute, Mark Kepler.
Welcome. Workers' compensation has a noble purpose, to provide a benefit to injured workers to help them get back on their feet. However, because of its size and complexity, the state's $25 billion workers' compensation system creates ample opportunity for fraud. Estimates are in the range of $1 to $3 billion a year. Recently, the Office of the State Auditor examined what can be done to better detect fraudulent claims. California State Auditor Elaine Howell is here to discuss the findings. Welcome to the Matty Report.
Thank you.
So, can you briefly describe workers' compensation? What is it? How does it work?
Sure. As you indicated in your opening, workers' compensation is a system in California that provides benefits to employees who may be either injured or disabled on the job, so that they can get the appropriate medical benefits, income payments while they may be disabled or away from work. But it's a system that employers pay into. They get insurance, and that prevents the employers or protects them a bit from being sued by the employees. So it gives the employees the benefit of medical services if they are injured, income while they're off the job, but also protects employers from being sued by those employees.
And it's a pretty big system. I mean, I was looking at your report. You cited 15.6 million employees are covered by the mm-hmm. system. 936,000 employers are covered
right.
by the system. 607,000 accidents and injuries and illnesses a year. It's a pretty big system.
Very big system.
So the idea is it's a no-fault insurance system funded by employers to cover workplace injuries. It's the exclusive remedy for workplace injuries. So I assume then the employer's insurance rates are based on how many injuries there are in the workplace. And so more injuries result in higher premiums.
Mm-hmm.
So how much does this cost then in California employers?
Well, as you indicated, on a yearly basis, the system is about $25 billion. And you're right, an employer, depending upon the type of employment, so a roofer, for example, employing individuals going up on a roof, it's higher risk right. than someone working in an accounting pool. So the rate, there's a rating bureau that establishes the rates based on the type of work, but also the extent of the number of injuries that a particular employer may have with their employees.
And I'm sure that's kind of baked into
change.
So it's baked into the cost for roofing, for example. They put that into the cost of roofing.
Correct.
By the way, a bad idea to hire a mm-hmm. roofer that's not covered by workers' compensation, because then you're going to be individually responsible if they get injured.
Right.
So state agencies. There's a number of state agencies that administer the workers' comp system. Briefly, mm-hmm. who are they? What are they?
Sure. There's two primary agencies, Department of Industrial Relations, and that's the entity that's responsible for really managing workers' compensation claims. They also assist with some of the investigative work that's done. Department of Insurance, of course, is our state entity that licenses insurers, so they're making sure that insurers stay solvent, et cetera, and those insurers that cover workers' compensation or any type of insurance. But also the Department of Insurance has an important role in investigating potential fraudulent claims by employees, employers, providers, et cetera. So they do much of the investigative work. There's also work that's done at the local level by DAs. The primary state agencies, though, are the Department of Insurance and the Department of Industrial Relations.
You also said something about a rating bureau, which is a private entity that establishes pure premium rates. I guess those are the benchmarks that are based, that workers' compensation rates are based on, their recommendations to the insurance commissioner.
That's correct. So this rating bureau, absolutely, as you indicated, and we talked about just a few minutes ago, is depending on the type of employer and the number of claims that they may have, the number of injuries their employees have suffered, that affects the rates. And this rating bureau is basically a nonprofit, as you indicated, that determines what the rates will be for the different types of insurance for different types
of
employers.
Lots of players. Then we also have on the other side, we've got the insurance companies and the service providers. So what do insurance companies, what role do they play, and what role do service providers play in the process?
Well, certainly insurance companies are providing the insurance, the workers' compensation insurance for the employers, but they also have a role in trying to identify potential fraud, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit, about where they're required by state law to have some investigative units in their companies to try to identify potential fraud. The service providers are medical professionals, other types of providers assisting employees in filing claims for workers' compensation insurance.
That would include rehabilitation services, those kinds of things?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So the focus on your report is workers' compensation fraud. How big a problem is it?
Workers' comp fraud is a significant problem in California. It's one to three. The estimates out there are between $1 and $3 billion a year in fraudulent claims. So this is certainly an issue that the state needs to pay attention to, and needs to do everything it can to try to prevent, first of all, but certainly detect and prosecute fraudulent claims of workers' compensation.
And I think in your report it says that 4 to 12% of the system's costs were fraud related, and then employers are likely to pass this on. You also indicate, it's talked about something called chargeable fraud.
Correct. And
I guess that's fraud that you can actually prosecute and win.
Mm-hmm.
And those numbers are, I think you said, $970 million. These are ones we think, you know, we're going to win these claims. So pretty significant. And they also talked about the increase in workers' comp fraud. It's you know, growing at a rate of 525%.
Well, that's specifically for, so what you're speaking about is chargeable fraud, and that's what local district attorneys feel very confident that they would get a conviction. The 525% increase is that chargeable fraud, but specifically for providers. That is the biggest area where we have seen an increase from. And we looked at a three-year window. So from year one to year three, it increased from about $130 million to over $800 million in chargeable fraud. So this is fraud local DAs feel very confident they can convict.
Wow. Pretty interesting. So up next, we're going to talk about why is it so difficult to uncover workers' compensation fraud. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. We're talking with California State Auditor Elaine Howell about combating fraud in the workers' compensation system. So what are the different types of fraud?
Sure. There's four primary types of fraud. The employee fraudulently claiming they are injured or they still need to stay off the job. Employers fraudulently not necessarily ensuring that their employees are getting the coverage they need.
Or saying that one person really is, you know, a roofer is really on clerical staff and so they're going to get lower rates.
Right, misclassifying employees.
Then insurance companies,
as far as issuing fraud policies that they are not intending to support.
A certificate of insurance, but really nothing there. And then service providers, which you're really concerned about.
Service providers is the biggest area of fraud that we've seen where there's a huge increase. And this is medical providers, attorneys, other individuals part of the process in assisting employees when they file a claim.
Yeah, billing for things maybe that aren't, services that aren't being conducted, being
done.
So you indicate the state has different ways to combat workers' compensation fraud. There are four different categories. One is prevention.
Right.
So the second is detection. The third is investigations. The fourth is prosecution. Any comments you want to make on those?
Sure. Prevention is trying to identify and provide outreach education to employees as far as their employer potentially fraudulently claiming they're a clerical person as opposed to a roofer. And then we're expecting the Department of Industrial Relations, our state agency, to really do some analytics, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, as far as doing analyses to try to identify potential fraud to hopefully prevent it in the future. Investigation is critically important. That should happen at the state level, but certainly at the local level by the DAs. And then prosecution, of course, is the DAs. And that's important to hold people accountable.
I actually mediated a case once, and I was telling the charging party, I explained to them that I thought there was a potential of workers' compensation fraud. I explained it was a felony. His eyes got as wide as saucers. People don't know that you can get into a lot of trouble for filing a fraudulent claim.
That's correct.
Okay, so in your report, one of the problems you talk about in terms of detecting workers' comp fraud are this thing called referrals, or the lack of referrals.
Right.
What did you find?
So what state law requires is an insurance company to have what's called a special investigative unit. So any insurance company that is offering insurance workers' compensation insurance needs to be doing these types of analytics. And then if they see something that is potentially fraud, they are required to refer that to the state of California through the Department of Insurance and to the local DA.
But there's a lot of them that aren't doing referrals.
Right. So what we did is we did an analysis of the top 21 insurers. So they have the highest amount, volume of insurance premiums. Mm-hmm. They're providing insurance. And we looked at a three-year window, and some of those insurers, the biggest, had referred one, in many cases, zero referrals.
I did the math on this when I was looking at your numbers. Almost 40% of eight out of the 21 did not make referrals.
Exactly. And it's just not reasonable for one of the largest insurers to not see any kind of circumstance that looks like potential fraud. So we really raised a red flag there, not only with the insurance companies, but the Department of Insurance has a role in looking and auditing insurers. And so we said, are you doing this kind of analysis to see, well, you're a huge insurer in California. How could you have zero referrals to us?
I would think the insurance company would want to ferret out the fraud, but apparently 40% is the number is the number. Let's go on to data analytics. We talked about earlier. Mm-hmm. You think that's a really good way maybe to kind of help solve this problem. You found that the Department of Industrial Relations is not really using data analytics like it maybe should. What's the problem?
Right. I mean, clearly big data analysis is really important, can be very powerful tool. And it's something that was identified years ago as a tool that industrial relations should be using as far as two aspects, detection, both looking back, and then predictive. So using the analysis that you've done of past fraudulent claims, looking to see, are there certain indicators here? Let's apply that to the current data we have to try to predict potential fraud.
Trends.
So the Department of Industrial Relations should be doing that and assisting the Department of Insurance in identifying, again, similar to what insurance companies should be doing, our state agencies should be collaborating to try to identify potential fraud and then hopefully investigate it and prosecute.
So dropping the ball maybe on both ends. Okay, the last thing you talk about here is this explanation of benefit statements to injured employees. Injured employees send a statement saying, here's what we took care of. You think giving that to employees is a good idea to kind of ferret out fraud?
Absolutely. And we saw the state of California does it for disability insurance. The national Medicare program uses explanation of benefits. We think this could be an additional tool that the state could use. So if I'm an injured worker and I get that explanation of benefits and I see, well, I was, My employer is being charged for an MRI. Well, I never had an MRI.
Right.
So it's another resource that the state could use. We think it's a very important tool to add to the toolbox for our state.
Another check. Well, up next, we're going to talk about investigating the investigations of workers' comp fraud. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. We're talking with Elaine Howe, California State Auditor, about a recent report her office did on ways the state can reduce workers' compensation fraud. One of the major shortcomings you found was the lack of investigators. How short-staffed are they?
Well, as of February, the Department of Insurance we're talking about, because they conduct these investigations, they had about a 27% vacancy rate. And we looked at about a three-year window looking back to see how many staff are they losing. And they lost a significant number of employees to other state agencies, but it really weakened the ability for the Department of Insurance to do investigations. In fact, in many cases, they closed a referral. They didn't even investigate it because they didn't have the staff to do it.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. So if you're not investigating these complaints, there are people getting away with fraud.
That's absolutely true.
And what did your numbers find in terms of fraud? Were the numbers big?
The numbers were big as far as the first of all, there were fewer referrals coming in,
right.
But the Department of Insurance was having to close more and more cases, more of those referrals, because they just had insufficient resources. You might have to help me with the specifics.
Yeah, I mean, there was like $160 million mm-hmm. on average, and the average referral that they weren't getting and prosecuted or investigating was $18,900. Then
right.
what I thought was really interesting in your report was mm-hmm. employee fraud. They're saying that subset would be $66.8 million
right.
in investigations they're not doing. That's an average of $9,800. This is big money.
It's
right?
big money.
And
yes.
then what I found was really interesting was provider fraud,
mm-hmm.
Which you were talking about, service provider. There, the numbers are a little smaller. It's only about 8% of the total. But their total is $48 million. The average is $71,800
right.
per
right.
lost referral that's not being investigated.
Right, and that's where we think absolutely big money, and they should target their efforts. If you're seeing such a huge increase in provider fraud, again, the DAs feel that it's chargeable, then let's focus our efforts there. But
right.
unfortunately, Department of Insurance, over the 3 years we looked at, they were closing about 28% of their cases because they didn't have resources. Over that three-year window, that doubled to about 54% of their cases. So they need more investigators. So they need to do something to get more staff in their department to stay there.
It's almost a classic example of penny wise and pound foolish in a way, right? So
mm-hmm.
why, if staffing's the issue, why don't we just, the state just give the Department of Insurance just more money. Just get more money, hire more staff.
Well, and that was part of it. Part of it was they did an analysis, and we looked at their analysis where their investigators were making less money than investigators at Department of Justice, at Department of Corrections. That's where they lost a lot of their staff. But that's not the only thing that they need to do. We felt they needed to understand, why are some of those employees leaving? It's not just because of money. Is it because of job satisfaction?
Mm-hmm.
Some of the employees at left felt they didn't have the tools, resources, training to do their jobs and to do them well.
Now, one thing is you also talked about, maybe a better way to be more efficient with the limited resources the state has, is this thing called vertical prosecution.
Right.
What do you mean by that? How would it work?
Vertical prosecution is something that's been very successful in a lot of different investigative scenarios, but certainly in this, it's where an investigator is working very closely with the DA, the individual who's going to prosecute the case, so that when the investigator is collecting the evidence and doing the analysis, doing the actual investigation, he or she is collaborating with that DA to make sure I'm getting everything that you need to be able to successfully prosecute. Much more efficient.
Yeah, the left hand knows what the right hand is doing, right?
Right.
It's not duplication of effort. So, you know, one of the things you flagged in your report was that the California Department of Insurance lacks a plan to recruit and retain investigators.
Right.
What are kind of the things you'd like to see? You talked about the money. They're paid quite a bit less.
Right.
As opposed to if you're an investigator for the Department of Justice or something, you're paid quite a bit more.
Right. And they did address the salary issue. They actually worked with our California Human Resources Agency that's responsible for salaries, and they did get a bump in their salaries. But we said you need a retention plan. You need to understand why these employees are leaving above and beyond just money. And also broaden your recruiting. One of the things that they don't do and that we think they should do is recruit retired law enforcement because
yeah.
they have the skill set to be able to assist in conducting investigations. And at a recent legislative hearing, I talked about, well, you want to bring in junior people coming out of school with a criminal justice major, but let's bring in some retired law enforcement to work with them
yeah,
and train
mentor.
Them, and then you have your succession plan in place.
Okay. Well, up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about how do you solve the workers' comp fraud situation in California. That conversation in a moment. This is the Maddie Report. Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute. So what are the things that can be done to reduce workers' comp fraud? Our guest is the state auditor, Elaine Howe, has some recommendations in that regard.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things you're concerned about, we talked about earlier, is this issue of referrals.
Right.
The California Department of Insurance does not currently screen for referral rates. So what would you like to see done?
A couple of things. We had two key recommendations related to this, and one of the graphics in our report really helped depict what we think would be beneficial. So put a scorecard essentially up on the website. Here are the top 21 insurers in workers' compensation, and here are the number of referrals they've submitted to us, the Department of Insurance, in the last 3 years or 2 years or whatever time frame you select. Then you're really going to identify and put out there publicly, here are these insurers who are generating a significant amount of insurance premium, and they're profiting from that,
but the significance
but they're
of
not
that,
referring.
Right, but the significance of that, if I'm an employer, is if I know my insurance company is not going after fraud, it means they're paying out on claims they shouldn't be, which means my rates are going to be higher.
Exactly.
So that puts
exactly.
some pressure on the insurance company to really be aggressive about
right,
this.
Right, because right now, as you indicated a few minutes ago when we were talking, insurance companies can just pass the cost on to right. the employer. The rates go up for the employers. So
which
there really
pass
isn't
along
a lot
to the consumer.
To the consumer, absolutely.
Right.
So the other thing we suggested the Department of Insurance needs to do is to target some of those insurers for audit, to go in and say, you've only referred 3 claims in the last 2 years. We don't think that's reasonable based on the size of your premium.
And the low referral rate probably puts you on top of the scale in terms of priority.
Exactly.
Who's audited.
Right.
The other thing you're talking about was unspent funds, using that money to really augment district attorney's mm-hmm. offices as opposed to just giving the money back to employers in subsequent years. What are your thoughts there?
Right. So the thoughts there are there's a formula as far as 40% of the fraud assessment goes to the Department of Insurance mm-hmm. to administer, 40% goes to DAs, and then there's 20% that's flexible. Typically, that's been going to the DAs. But because of the number of vacancies that insurance has had in the past, they haven't spent all their money. Well, rather than give that money to the DAs to assist them in additional prosecution, they have basically reduced the rates in the future. But if you want to combat fraud, let's get that money to the DAs, who have demonstrated that they could use more funding. So we need to see some changes in how the funding is provided at the state level and certainly at the local level.
Yeah, that 20% discretionary, you actually see more to the DAs. Mm-hmm. Another thing your report recommends is that the Department of Industrial Relations use that data analytics we were talking about to identify service provider fraud. Mm-hmm. Fine, but they've been talking about this for some time.
Right.
You have confidence they're going to actually get this done?
Right. And we're pressing them.
Okay.
I mean, and that's part of what the report and the recommendations is. You know, this is something that you identified several years ago. You're just starting to get rolling on this, mm-hmm. but they really haven't developed a strong methodology, metrics, the types of things, methodology that they're going to use to create these analytics, both descriptive, as I talked about earlier, to identify past practices, but also predictive. So we really want to put the pressure on industrial relations to do a better job and get really moving on these analytics, because you've known it's a beneficial tool and you should have had it in place long before.
I'm guessing when the Chamber of Commerce or the National Federation of Independent mm-hmm. Businesses sees your report and realize mm-hmm. it's impacting their members, they're probably going to be knocking on someone's door and saying, you guys got to pick up the pace here.
Right.
Okay, you also talk about enlisting injured employees in the battle to combat workers' comp fraud by mm-hmm. having them review these benefit statements for overcharges,
right.
things of that nature. Any proof that this is actually going to reduce workers' comp fraud?
Well, we looked at, as I said, disability insurance in California requires EOBs. The Medicare system submits EOBs, these explanation of benefits, to their individuals who receive Medicare. And it's been successful as far as individuals saying, yes, I look at that EOB as it's referred to, and I will report something that I think might be fraudulent because I have a duty to do so. The pushback we've received from the department and some of the insurers is, oh, it's going to be expensive to
right.
do. So we talked to some private sector, Disney. They send out EOBs that cost them 50 cents per EOB. And what we're suggesting is, do it periodically, perhaps on a quarterly basis. You don't have to send it out every single month or every
right.
single time an employee receives a benefit, but at least at some periodic time, and those employees, again, will serve as a tool to strengthen our you know, enforcement and preventative measures with respect to fraud.
You know, it was interesting, just specifically, you looked at a 1998 report by the Office of Inspector General at mm-hmm. Medicare, just to prove your, kind of reiterate
right.
your point,
mm-hmm.
they found that 74% of Medicare beneficiaries
right.
said they would always read their EOB statements, and another 89% said that if they saw fraud, they'd report it.
That's correct.
And so you're talking about, you know, if cost is an issue, there's a way to reduce it by not doing it as frequently and et cetera.
Right.
And
right.
there's some examples in the private sector.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I mm-hmm. want to thank the state auditor, Elaine Howell, for joining us to talk about this important issue mm-hmm. of workers' comp fraud. If you want to stay current on state and local politics, you can follow the Maddie Institute on Facebook, Twitter, or log on to our website at maddieinstitute.com. Up next, how prevalent is workers' comp fraud in the Valley? We'll ask Manny Jimenez from the Fresno County DA's office, Janelle Crandall with the Stanislaus County DA's office, and Spencer Johnston from the Tulare County DA's office.
You're listening to the Maddie Report, Valley Views Edition, on KMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Maddie Institute, and we're talking about the high cost of workers' compensation fraud and what can be done about it. Joining us are some of the folks on the front lines of prosecuting workers' comp fraud cases here in the Valley. We have Manuel Jimenez from the Fresno County DA's office. Welcome.
Welcome. Thank you very much for having me.
And we have Janelle Crandall with the Stanislaus County DA's office. Welcome, Janelle.
Thank you.
And Spencer Johnston with the Tulare County DA's office. Welcome, Spencer.
Thank you very much for having me. It's an honor to be here.
Oh, okay. Well, let's start off then with you with the first question. So how big a problem is workers' compensation in Tulare County?
It's a fairly big problem here, mostly due to the fact that we are an agricultural community. So most of our workers' comp cases here are applicant fraud type cases where somebody may suffer a legitimate injury or a fake injury and go out of work and then stay off of work longer than what they need to or what their doctor recommends. And then they start to lie about staying off of work because they don't want to go back to work. So we do have a problem with that. However, in the past 2 years, we have been cracking down on workers' compensation fraud in our county through vertical prosecution and the devotion of our investigators. And we've seen workers' comp fraud actually go down. And,
really?
And a lot of that has to do with community outreach that our investigators do when they go and talk to employers.
It sounds like the word is getting out.
Yeah, word is getting out, and our prosecutions have gone up, and we've done in the past year we had double the amount of prosecutions than the previous two years combined. So
yeah, it's interesting.
We're having an impact.
It's interesting. I work as a mediator in employment disputes, and I've had situations where a person brings a workers' comp part of a disability case, and I explain to them I smell a problem that it might be a fraud case, and I explained to them, you know, that's a felony. And you see their faces just drop, like, what? I just thought I could try and see if I could get it. So, Manny, in Fresno County, how big a problem is it there?
It's definitely a big problem. What we've seen is that the applicant fraud cases that Spencer was talking about, they're also prevalent in Fresno County. Over the years that I've been prosecuting, it's been fairly static. I think that it's still a problem, and it's a problem that you're never going to be able to get rid of. But I think that through outreach and educating the employers to make sure that both the employees and the employers understand how the system is supposed to work is helping. We actually do outreach at Fresno State's Business School where we're trying to reach people that are about to enter the workforce or enter into owning businesses to try to educate them as
and
to
they have an HR option, which I teach in actually. And so, I've actually brought in workers' comp investigators to talk to my employment law class and some very interesting stories, which we'll get to in a moment.
Yes.
Before we do that, I want to ask Janelle about what's happening in Stanislaus County. What are the trends there? Is it increasing, decreasing?
It remains about the same. It's a big problem in Stanislaus as well, not only claimant fraud, which we see a lot of, but also businesses that are taking advantage of the workers' compensation system, underreporting payroll to receive lower insurance premiums. We have a
Are you getting the flip side of that where an employer says to an employee, you know, don't claim workers' comp, just take two aspirin and call me in the morning?
We do see those. We see those quite a bit as well. So I think the fraud in the work comp system is just well-rounded, so to speak. I mean, it's done by employees, employers, so.
Okay, a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, what's interesting, I'm sure each of you have some pretty interesting war stories. So, Spencer, I'm going to start with you in Tulare County. What are some of your better war stories on workers' comp fraud? What kind of cases you've seen?
Well, one thing that we've done, spearheaded by our DA investigator, Alonzo Gutierrez, is we started to crack down on failure to report extra income. So in other words, if a case is submitted to us for applicant fraud and we are not able to get the proof that we need to show that they're exaggerating their injuries, maybe, you know, we didn't get good video surveillance or whatnot, we take a look. What Alonzo Gutierrez started doing is looking at, are they working another job that they're not telling their employer and the insurance company about, which itself, as long as they know about the duty to report, is also a felony under Penal Code Section 550B3, failure to report other income. So we're looking at that and holding people accountable for that when they're working an extra job, making money. It says two things. One, they're lying to the insurance company because they're making money when they're on workers' comp receiving benefits. And two, if they are working another job, they probably are lying about what they can and cannot do on their current job for which they're out on workers' comp. So yeah. We've been doing that. We did have one big case that Alonzo spearheaded on a landscaper in Tulare County who he was out of workers' comp with his employer for his landscaping employer. Meanwhile, he was running his own business, his own landscaping business, when he said he couldn't do these things. He was running his own business. So we not only prosecuted him for failure to report that income, but we also prosecuted him for not having a contractor's license. And oddly enough, we also prosecuted him for failure to have workers' comp. So he was committing
multiple.
He was doing on both ends of it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Manny, what about in Fresno County? Any good war stories about workers' comp fraud?
I prosecuted an applicant fraud case where the employee suffered a hand injury at a factory that was making bread, and so basically he was claiming that he could not even lift a loaf of bread. Surveillance and investigation found him actually teaching at a private school, coaching basketball, and we had
gym instructor
video of him dunking a basketball and doing a lot of different things, throwing baseballs with the kids and everything. So that was one of the ones that stands out in my mind.
Surveillance always is an interesting thing. Janelle, yes. What about in Stanislaus County? Any good examples of workers' comp fraud?
The ones with video surveillance are always the most entertaining. We've had a case where we prosecuted an individual walking into a medical appointment with a cane, with a limp, and then the video surveillance continued to follow him, and he left the doctor's office the same way, but then as soon as he went to the grocery store, he was running around and so...
Right. I heard a story one time from a private investigator that said that this guy was claiming an injury and he apparently was selling gym equipment. He lived on the second floor of an apartment building. So the investigators called him and said, we want to buy the, not telling them they're investigators, obviously, but saying, hey, we want to buy the gym equipment, but we don't want to carry it down, the weights down from your apartment. You bring them down to the van. So they got a videotape of this guy going up and down the stairs with weights. That, let's just say he got into a little trouble.
Yeah.
So Manny, the focus you guys have is prosecution. And you kind of have to rely a little bit on the California Department of Insurance with some of their investigators. And apparently there is, according to the state audit report, there's an insufficient number of fraud investigators at the state level. Has that been a problem for you at Fresno County?
I think that... I've been in the insurance fraud part of Fresno DA's office since 2007. And so over the last 11 years, I definitely think that the vacancies at the Department of Insurance make it more difficult for not only the Department of Insurance to investigate, but it is hard for them to refer cases to local DA's offices when they have so few investigators. I would say this, in the last few years, I think there's been an improvement in large part due to the recent salary increases, because I think the pay gap and the lack of salary being competitive with sheriff's and local DA's offices like Fresno's, it's actually difficult for them sometimes to fill those positions in hiring. And then it takes a long time when they have to go through an academy sometimes too.
Yeah,
so there's a big gap sometimes between when you lose someone and then it might take a year, 6 months to a year to actually hire them. So I would say that it is a problem, and it's not completely the Department of Insurance's fault, but it definitely is something that affects prosecutions.
Yeah, that's what the state auditor's report was saying. Spencer, we were talking before we got started here. You were telling me that's not really, though, a big problem in Tulare County.
No, we have three dedicated workers investigators and one prosecutor. So We do generate, we do get a certain number of cases from the California Department of Insurance. We also generate some of our own cases, like the case I mentioned earlier about the landscaper. That was a case generated by our office. Another thing that we do is work with the California State Licensing Board, and we do sting operations and whatnot. Now, generally, those are not, you know, contract without a license, but also failure to have workers' comp. But what our investigators do, too, as well, is they'll go out and contact these, employers out in the field doing tree service or landscaping, painting, or whatever they're doing. And then what we'll do then sometimes is look into, are they, if they do have workers' comp for their employers, are they reporting the correct payroll and what their workers are doing to the insurance company that they have their insurance with. So we do generate quite a bit of our own work.
Yeah, I want to ask Janelle with Stanislaus County about referrals. That was a big issue in the state auditor's report. They're getting too few referrals. Do you see the same thing in Stanislaus County?
I wouldn't say too few, but if I look at all the referrals that I do receive, there are a number of insurance carriers that are very good about referring work comp fraud to us. So I think it just kind of depends on maybe the location of the county, the insurance companies that are there.
Well, let me ask Manny, what about Fresno County? Do you see that as a problem?
What I see in terms of the referrals is, in terms of not having the background of being able to look at all of the raw data, I would say this. You do see insurance companies that tend to send more referrals than other insurance companies. I do know that some of the larger insurance companies, the difference between referrals coming from smaller insurance companies and larger insurance companies, you may see more coming from a smaller one, less from a larger one. Not really sure exactly why that is. It doesn't always mean that the larger insurance company isn't have a priority of doing it. There may be a number of factors. But what I will say is the quality of the referrals is also important. So just generating a lot of referrals may not be the answer if the referrals don't have a quality to be able to help us investigate and prosecute the
cases. Right, that's a good point. Spencer, let me ask you about this thing that state auditor was talking about, this explanation of benefits statements that they think you ought to give to injured employees, because injured employees will then be checking and seeing if there's fraud and report it. I mean, what do you think about that as a way to kind of deal with workers' comp fraud?
That would be statement of benefits, you said?
Yeah, the explanation of benefit statements that they send to the employee. The employee says, hey, wait a second. It says that we were billed for, you know, some kind of checkup. I never went to a checkup. I was at the gym lifting weights.
Well, we do. If we can prove that, for us, it's not so much are they exceeding the limitations that they've been given by their doctor, as it is are they lying about what they're doing to the or to the doctors. So that's what we focus on.
Well, let me ask Janelle. I mean, you know, in Stanislaus County, I mean, do you think that if these injured employees in Stanislaus were getting these explanation of benefit statements, that they would kind of be another set of eyes on the problem? Would that help?
I think it would help. An issue that we are attempting to focus on is medical provider fraud. And I think that the EOBs would be helpful for anybody to be able to detect work comp insurance by the medical providers.
But do you think, Matt, let me ask you. So one of the arguments on the other side of this equation is employees don't care. They're not paying the bill. So
what I would say is in a perfect world, if someone were to read every one of the maybe 8 to 15 pages that you get in when you get an EOB statement, and then they would actually follow up and either call their insurer to say, hey, I never actually received that, or call the Department of Insurance, it would help. I understand the practicalities of it, that even myself, I probably could look at some of my own explanation of benefits on my health care better than I do, and I'm not perfect, so I understand the response. But I do think if you take cost out of the equation and you hope that people read them, it definitely would help.
Yeah, so maybe that's something we can do. You know, up next, we're going to talk about you know, what the Valley District Attorneys think of the state auditor's other recommendations to work to reduce workers' comp fraud. And what do they recommend Valley employers do to spot workers' comp fraud? That conversation in a moment. This is the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition.
You're listening to the Matty Report, Valley Views Edition on KMJ.
Welcome back. I'm Mark Kepler with the Matty Institute. We're talking about workers' comp fraud in the Valley with Janelle Crandall with the Stanislaus County DA's office, Spencer Johnston with the Tulare County DA's office, and Manny Jimenez with the Fresno County DA's office. So, Manny, let me ask you. The state auditor's report indicates that existing funding can be better used through this thing called vertical prosecution. I think you even mentioned that in the earlier segment. Is that something you think has some value?
It definitely has some value. Our workers' comp fraud unit at the DA's office, which involves two deputy DAs, myself and my partner, and we have three senior investigators, all of our cases are vertical prosecution. It's important when you have a more complicated case, like a workers' comp fraud case, that the attorney be consulting with the investigator prior to the filing of the complaint, and then the same attorney be prosecuting it from what we call birth to death, from the filing of the complaint all the way through to either a conviction, hopefully, trial, whatever. But it definitely is the most effective way, and it's what we believe in our unit works the best.
Janelle, do you do the same thing in Stanislaus County? Do this vertical prosecution of workers' comp fraud cases?
We do. I am the one prosecutor that prosecutes work comp fraud there. And then we also have one full-time investigator and a part-time investigator. And we are, from there, the beginning till the end.
Now, working together as a team.
Correct.
You're seeing a lot of that. You know, it's not just law. You're seeing it in medicine, too, right? They put together a team of specialists to kind of handle the problem as opposed to people working in silos. Spencer, same thing in Tulare County?
Yeah, it's the exact same thing. I agree with what Manny said. You know, we do handle the cases from beginning to end. I'm a full-time prosecutor, doing workers' comp. We have three full-time investigators, and we work very closely together. Teamwork is a big thing with us. And, by the time they submit a case to me for review to decide whether to bring criminal charges, I'm already familiar with the case because I've worked with the investigators, and then when I go to court, I'm completely prepared. I know all about the case, know the ins and outs, and workers' comp is a complicated area. You know, it takes a while to learn, and so it takes the burden off of the general prosecution team when they're doing other kind of crimes. They don't have to worry about these complex financial crimes cases.
Yeah. So let me ask you this. Another one of the state auditor's recommendations was to redirect any unspent state workers' comp anti-fraud funds to DA's offices. And I think it was about $2.4 million a year. Would that have a significant impact? Because right now they're giving it back to rate payers and reducing their rates. The state auditor says, no, we should give it back to the DA offices so they can prosecute more of these claims. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that would definitely help. You know, we're on the front lines here. We're in the trenches working hard. We county employees are very dedicated. But the more funds that we receive, the more we can put into our investigations. And it would definitely benefit our ability. You know, we'd be able to probably, investigate and prosecute even more cases. Because there are a lot of cases out there.
Yeah, Manny, I'm thinking an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure here, right? I mean,
yes.
Instead of doing it, on the back end, I mean, the front end, get these cases investigated.
Yes, I definitely think that the more money that any DA's office can get, especially in the Central Valley, would really help.
Because that's going to reduce employers' insurance payments, right? Because less fraud cases,
yes,
lower rates. So they're going to get their rate reduction.
And in the Central Valley, there's been formed a Central Valley Workers' Compensation Fraud Task Force, which is run by the Department of Insurance, but it covers the Central Valley, Kern, Kings, Tulare, Fresno, Madera, and Merced counties all participate. And so any funding that any of those counties could get that would be extra would help actually support that task force. And they do all of the types of fraud from provider to premium to applicant fraud.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that task force?
Yes. It's a task force that is run by the Department of Insurance, and it's we have a formal memorandum of understanding between the Department of Insurance and each of the counties that I just mentioned in the Central Valley. Each of the counties can participate up to whatever level they can. Fresno, we believe in the task force so much that we have assigned two of our three prosecutors full-time to the task force, and they're actually housed at the Department of Insurance Central Valley Regional Office here in Fresno. And then the other counties, we meet quarterly, and they'll participate as much as they can. So if we have investigations, any search warrants that need to be served, anything, we come together as a task force, bringing resources from all the different counties together to help investigate all these types of cases. And you get more bang for your buck when you do that. When you come together, you definitely have better investigated cases and better prosecuted cases.
It sounds like, you know, number one, best practices, right? You can talk to each other and say, okay, what are you doing and what's working and what are you doing that's not working? I'm also thinking that some of these cheats, frankly, are crossing county lines. And so, we had that guy in our county.
Absolutely. And I think that one of the things is the focus is always on the higher impact cases, such as the provider fraud cases, and those cross county lines and require a lot of expertise. So it definitely is one of the main reasons why that task force was formed.
You know, before I came to California, I was practicing law in Connecticut, practicing employment law in Hartford, Connecticut. And there was a story going around the Hartford legal community about this guy who would show up at bars and after hours and say, "Listen, I'll clean up your bar for you, and then if you can just pay me with whiskey, whatever. You don't have to pay me wage rates." Of course, the person not only filed a wage and hour claim against the bar after a couple of weeks, he also said he injured himself. This a complete mess. So employers don't know what they're doing. They get into a lot of trouble by hiring off the books, as it were. And Janelle, let me ask you real quick. I noticed that when Manny was talking about this task force, he didn't mention Stanislaus County. Right. Any reason why?
Stanislaus County is actually countered with Department of Insurance in Sacramento.
Okay, you're already – yeah. So, you guys in the North Valley kind of see yourselves part of Sacramento, a suburb.
So that may be why. But the task force is great, even for smaller counties, because – the resources that the smaller counties have may not be enough to tackle those big cases that, you know, Manny and the other DAC. So those task force are pretty amazing for the resources, at least, to get together.
Yeah, I would think it'd be very, very helpful. Mm-hmm. You're not reinventing the wheel.
Right.
So let me ask a question probably a lot of our listeners are probably very interested in, and that is, what are the telltale signs? I'm going to start with you, Spencer. What are the telltale signs that employers should look for when they suspect someone might be engaged in workers' comp fraud?
Well, what we do, you know, and Alonzo Gutierrez does this, he goes out and speaks to the employers in our community and educates them on this thing. But some of the things that, you know, he tells them first is, you know, he tells them what their rights are first as an employer and what the rights of the employee are if they're injured. What workers' comp fraud is and how to avoid it and the consequences of it. That way, and then get into more specifics like, is it a Monday morning injury where it might be a fake injury that they're making up because they don't want to go back to work on a Monday. And then you look at a lot of times cases will be you'll hear about a case through other employee complaints because you know they'll see. One employee will see the apparent injured worker out in the grocery store or at the gym or somewhere doing things, and they're like, "Hey, I have to go to work every day, 8 hours a day. I'm working hard, and here he is off work getting paid, and he's at the gym or playing basketball or whatever." And they'll actually go and complain to their supervisor. So that's important to pass that along. You know, you might hear complaints about from an ex-wife saying, "Hey, you know, I know my ex-husband's off of work and he's getting paid."
There's a theme here. So don't upset people. They're going to turn you in for workers' comp fraud.
Yeah, they don't like it when, you know, when you're working it and then this person's out there and they're lying about being injured and, right. and getting paid for, to stay at home watching TV and whatnot. And then one of the other things we tell them to look for, too, is are they telling the doctor, if they're looking at these medical reports and they're in communication with the doctors, are they telling the doctor that they don't want to go back to work? So we want to look at their motivation.
Right.
If they say, if they tell the doctor, I really want to get back to work, but I can't, help me get back to work, doc. But sometimes they will say, like, look, doc, I don't even want to go back to work. Even once I'm better, I'm not even going to return.
So that's, I want to see, but I want to get Janelle and Manny here before we only got about a minute left. So Janelle, anything you can tell employers to kind of, how they can spot workers' comp fraud?
I think to just be attentive. Look at when the employee is claiming the injury happened.
The Monday morning
right.
at a distant part of the plant with no witnesses.
No witnesses. Are they a new hire? Maybe they just came on and suffered the injury a week or two later. Right. Also a red flag.
So Manny, anything you want to add to that?
What I would also say is social media is actually a blessing and a curse, because what I would
really,
say
people
is,
put that stuff on social media?
Is that when someone has limitations, it's amazing how fellow employees that are friends with someone that on Facebook that's out, it'll be interesting to see how many cases have been broken where basically you see something that they're doing, some hiking, family trip, videos of them
Exhibit
windsurfing. Exactly. So. Investigators love social media. The more social media, the better for the investigators.
Yeah, people think that's private. It is not. We're learning that it is not private. Well, I want to thank our guests, Manny Jimenez with the Fresno County DA's office, Spencer Johnston with the Tulare County DA's office, and Janelle Crandall with the Stanislaus County DA's office. Thanks, all of you, for joining us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
The views and opinions expressed on the Matter Report are those of the individuals participating in the program and do not necessarily reflect those of the California Channel or the Matter Institute. If you'd like to share your thoughts about the points and opinions expressed on the Matter Report, visit our website at matterinstitute.org.
The Matter Report, Valley Views Edition, is a public affairs partnership between KMJ Radio, Cumulus Media, and the nonpartisan Matter Institute. Providing the Valley with valuable insight and analysis on politics and important public policy issues. This is KMJ.